Good morning. Good morning. Yeah. Well, today I just want to start off by talking about some politics. So, no, I'm not going to talk about politics. Most of you guys are like, oh man, I thought this was a relief from that. But I do want to, I'm thankful Jake mentioned the day of prayer. And I do hope in the coming days, coming weeks, you'll continue to remember the people in Houston, the victims of the hurricane, as well as the volunteers who are out there helping out and risking their lives to save lives. In addition, pray for our leaders of our country. Pray for our nation in general, who we're all a part of, and just the division in this country that, as we've seen, and just really learn from the example of what's going on in Houston, of people just putting all their differences aside and saving one another. And that's what it's all about, because we as a nation need healing. I mean, it's interesting that we just sang that song, Healer. I didn't know they were going to sing that song, Healer, this morning, but that's what we're going to be talking about, is healing. So last week we were in the Word, and we had a sermon we titled The Word, and this is part two of The Word. And we're going to be talking about the Word, how the Word is our healer. Last week we showed the Word as, okay, this is how you can see Jesus in all His glory. It's right there in the Word of God. Today we're going to focus on how the Word is our healer. So I know some of you came in here today and there's something on your heart. Probably most of you, actually. It might be small, it might be big. But I want you to sit back for a moment, just relax, all right? We're in a safe place here. What did you bring in here with you today? What are you struggling with today? What are you how are you hurting? So hopefully we can figure out where do we turn when we have that hurt in our hearts? And we're going to be in a passage in John 5 this morning. If you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles there, I'm going to read the passage, and then we'll pray, and we'll break it down, and it's going to be interesting. We're going to break it down real fast. But then we're just going to talk a little bit more about how the Word can heal us, the Word of God. So in John chapter 5, verse 1, John wrote, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. In these days lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and he knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Get up, take your bed, and walk.' And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked." Pray with me. Father, we've all been in those moments where we're struggling. We've all been in those moments where we're hurt. When something feels too big to overcome us and overwhelm us, we forget about you. Or we try to fix it on our own. We turn to others, power of our own self, power of human beings. And we forget about the power of God, and specifically the power of your Word. Father, I pray that you just convict us this morning of the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, the power to save, to bring eternal life, the only way to eternal life. Lord, not only eternal life, but also the struggles we face in our lives. Lord, that we can overcome it through Him. Father, be with us and teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to break it down. I mentioned we're going to break it down real fast, so don't blink. Seriously, it's going to be quick. I usually do about 15 to 17 pages, and we're done breaking down the pages by the scripture by page 4 here. So at verse 1, he says, and after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And John doesn't identify what feast was going on, but it was one of three major feasts, more than likely. Either the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Tabernacles, because those three feasts, all Jewish men were required to go to Jerusalem. In the passage before this, Jesus had healed an official son, and he did that in the Galilee region. Pretty much, John puts this verse in here to say, hey, he's not in Galilee anymore, he's going to Jerusalem. And while in Jerusalem, in verse 2, there's a sheep gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. The word Bethesda was Aramaic, as John indicates in the scripture, but it was understood by these people here, it meant this. This was a house of outpourings. This is a house of mercy. These roof colonnades were like porches. That's what, if you want to, this is an Olympic-sized pool, okay? This is like a little pond that's spring-fed. It's very small, but around it had these five porches, and these lame, these blind, paralyzed, invalid people, they would come and they would lay here, and they'd seek shelter from the elements, the weather, the rain, the sun, whatever. That's where they went. And John says there was a man there. In verse 5, he had been there, he'd been invalid for 38 years. 38 years is a long time, isn't it? I mean, I'm only 35 years old. I haven't even been alive 38 years. And John doesn't say why this guy couldn't move, why he was invalid. Just says he couldn't walk. Whether he was unable to walk very well or whatever, we don't know. Whether he was paralyzed, we don't know. We don't know what caused it, but we know that he's been ill for nearly four decades. 38 years. This man had no hope. I mean, can you imagine that? If you came in here, you just thought about, I ask you to think about something you're dealing with. If you're bringing something in here that you're hurting, something you're struggling with, 38 years from now, don't you think you're kind of stuck with it? I mean, 2 years from now, you're probably thinking, 2 months from now, you're probably thinking, I can't overcome this, right? 38 years, this man had no hope. But here's an opportunity for Jesus to display his power. In verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said this, and this is what we're going to focus on today. He asked him, he said, "Do you want to be healed?" Jesus had never physically encountered this man, more than likely. But here he comes beside him, and he knew that he'd been a long time, because that's what Jesus does. Jesus is God. Jesus perceives things. He knew this man had been here a long time. He knew this man had no hope. And he asked him, he says, "Do you want to be healed?" And you're thinking, what kind of question is that? Of course he wants to be healed. That's the whole reason he's here, right? Isn't that the reason why the guy's laying beside the pool? Because he wants to be healed. Listen what he says in verse 7. He said, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going, another steps down before me." These people, they were here. They were here for shelter, but they were also here because they believed that there was a healing power in this pool, in this water. It said when it stirred up, the water stirred up, he can't get in there. Somebody always beats him down there. Ancient sources say that the spring that fed this water had these minerals in it that made the water a red tint. So it's possible they believed the red tint of the water, they just assumed it had healing powers. There are others that think that they believed an angel came and stirred up the water. It really doesn't tell us why he believed. He just knew that if the water was stirred, that he thought if he was the first one in that pool, he would be healed. And as a guy that can't move and he's lame and can't walk, that's pretty difficult to be the first in the pool, right? That's the problem here. He believed the waters were stirred. If he got in there, he would be healed. Think about this. When Jesus asked him, he said, "Do you want to be healed?" The man, it didn't cross his mind that Jesus could heal him. He didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't have faith in Jesus, that's for sure. His answer to Jesus was one of no hope. He had no hope. He can't be healed. Because he can't possibly be the first one in the pool. He can't walk. In other words, when this man said, when Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" This man's mind went straight to my own power. I can't walk. Or he went to the power of the water. I can't get in there to be healed. But he didn't think about Jesus. Despite this, Jesus said to him in verse 8, "Get up, take your bed and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. This is a man that doesn't know who Jesus, much less have faith in Jesus. But Jesus said, "Get up, take your bed and walk." Just as the Son of God spoke into creation, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Jesus told this man, "Take up your bed and walk." And he took up his bed and he walked. He was healed. That's the word of God. Take up your bed and walk. The word of Jesus, the Son of God. It's power. That's the power to heal. I mean, I think about Lazarus in John 11. And Jesus is away. Lazarus lives in a town called Bethany, and it's right outside of Jerusalem. And Jesus is away for a while, and he's sick. And he gets a report that Lazarus is ill, and he decided to stay there 2 days. Jesus very easily could have went and healed Lazarus. But he stayed 2 days. And when he finally went back to Bethany, he came up to Lazarus' tomb. Lazarus had passed. In fact, Scripture says he's been there for 4 days. Lazarus was dead. All right, if there's any ideas that maybe he was just asleep, it was just kind of look. No, he was dead. He'd been there 4 days. He was wrapped. He was bound with these linens that he'd gone through the burial procedure, entombed. Lazarus had no life in him. In John 11, 43, it says this. When he said these things, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Verse 44, "The man who died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" That's the power of the Word of God, the Son of God, Jesus. He said, "Come out." He didn't walk into the tomb. He didn't even see Lazarus dead. He didn't walk in there. He called him out. He didn't go inside. He didn't touch him. He didn't prepare his body. Lazarus came out. He was still bound by the linen strips from being prepared for burial. Jesus didn't do anything physically. He called him out. He said, "Unbind him, let him go." Even the fabric is subject to the Word of God. And Jesus simply cried out with a loud voice, so everybody knew what was happening. Everybody heard Jesus say, "Lazarus, come out." That's the Word of God. I mean, that's healing power. And the Word of God heals. I love what so many commentators, theologians have said about this passage. It's interesting that he does say, "Lazarus, come out." And if Jesus had just said, "Come out," there are those that believe that the power of God, his word, is so strong that every tomb and all the dead would have risen if he didn't address Lazarus. But that's exactly what's going to happen one day, isn't it? I mean, isn't that awesome? Don't you have hope in that? That one day Jesus is coming back and that's what he's going to say. He's going to say, "Come out." And the tombs are going to open and all those who have faith in him, they're going to rise and they're going to meet him in the air and their bodies are going to be transformed and they're going to be perfect and sanctified in that moment. Because God said, "Come out." That's the power of the Word of God. Back to John 5. Just as death and Lazarus was subject to Jesus, this lame man's disease, this cause of him being lame, was subject to Jesus. Jesus just said, "Take up your bed and walk." And that healed him. The man got up, he took up his bed and he walked away. There's a few more verses in that passage you could read and see what happens to him. But here's a man not seeking Jesus. This is a man, he's not looking to be healed by Jesus. He's not even recognizing Jesus. He's seeking to be healed by water, which had no power to heal, by the way. There was no power in that water. But here's the thing. We don't see much after that John 9 passage of what happens to the guy, but I can tell you this, I'm pretty sure that guy is dead. All right? Lazarus was raised from the dead, but Lazarus, I'm pretty sure he's dead too. He died again. The point is this, the only hope you have is Jesus. That's it. I mean, no matter what you brought in here and you're struggling with, it can be taken away. But there's a problem. There's still that problem of death lingering that we're all going to face. And the only hope you have is Jesus. So what do you need? What is it that you need healing of? What is your hope? What is your hope? What's the source? What are you looking to? How are you looking to be healed? I'm telling you, it's Jesus. And that's easy for me to say. I'm a 35-year-old guy, all right? I don't really have any major health issues that I know of. I mean, it's pretty safe to assume that more than likely, and anything can happen, but I have at least a few years of my life left ahead of me, all right? I know things can happen. So that's easy for me to say, right? But I think about a man named Jim Blackmer. And if you get our email, Jim Blackmer's been on our prayer request for about 3 or 4 months now. And Jim, he had a brain tumor. And they went in and they tried to remove it, but they couldn't remove it all. This is a very aggressive brain tumor he's got. His wife Marilyn has watched him go from a perfectly happy, healthy man into just a few months, just to not even really much of himself anymore. In fact, the chemo and radiation is so bad they had to take him off of it because he just had no strength. He didn't remember things. He couldn't work the remote control. So they just need him to get some strength. In a few months, Jim's going to leave us. That's the reality. It's kind of hard. I could understand how if I say, "Hey man, Jesus is the only hope you got," maybe he might say, "Well, I'm going to die." But we know better. God has bigger things in mind. Could God reach down and say, "Jim, be healed"? You better believe it. Absolutely. But God, he's got bigger things in mind. He's worried about eternity. He could heal Jim right now, but the problem is if it's not the tumor that kills Jim, it's going to be something else. Lazarus was dead and he was raised from the dead, but Lazarus died. God's more concerned about eternity. He wants to hear. He wants us to hear His healing words. We have right there in our scriptures, in the Bibles, we carry with us. He changes our mind. He changes our outlooks through that. He changes our desires. He wants us to form us in the people who we want the physical healing, but we understand the spiritual healing. We want to be in the presence of God. I mean, He changes our desires. He gives us the comfort and peace. He reminds us of security we have in Him. So again, I ask, what kind of healing are you seeking? Can God cure your addiction? Yeah, He can cure your addiction. Just like that. He can cure it. You better believe that. But He's got even bigger things in mind. He doesn't want to just cure you from your disease, your struggle, your addiction. He wants to change you. He wants to change your desires. He wants to cure you from the ultimate problem, death. I mean, how lucky was this man? You don't even know his name. How lucky was that man at the pool that day? Here he is, can't walk, he's lame, he's laying in the multitudes of people. All right, I've been to this area. I mean, it's a pretty big little courtyard, and you could walk around. There had to be hundreds of people there. I mean, but he chose him. Everybody was there to be in that pool when the waters were stirred. Everybody there needed healing. But Jesus chose him. I mean, you think that guy was lucky? I think he was lucky. I think that's pretty fortunate. I mean, haven't we all been there? Haven't we, in a sense, been that lame guy laying at the pool looking for healing? But Jesus chose us. I mean, are you thankful for that? I mean, this is what happened. No matter what was going on in your life, no matter what you were struggling with, maybe you had money, maybe you had fame, maybe you had possessions, friends, family, you had it all. There's still a death problem lingering. And I guarantee you knew it. No matter what you have in a moment, in death, it's all gone. It can't bring you joy. It can't bring you peace. It can't give you everything you want. And you knew that. Maybe you had your own pool of water. Maybe you're just trying to be a good person. Maybe you were, I don't know what you were pursuing. Maybe you even knew about Jesus, but you were just trying to impress Him, earn His favor. But you never had faith in Him. Because He never revealed Himself to you like He did this man. And Jesus came and He saw you sitting by the pool and you're waiting, and whatever your water is, whatever your pool is, that's what you were hoping. That's what your hope was set in. But you know what? There was no healing power in that water, and whatever you were searching for, there's no healing power in that. But Jesus came and you weren't seeking Him, but He sought you out. He came beside you and He spoke into your heart, and you were faced with this answer. You were faced with this question. Do you want to be healed? Jesus revealed Himself to you and He said, do you want to be healed? That's the question that's asked to every person that's ever lived and ever will live. And it's simple. The source of healing is Jesus Christ, and it's Jesus Christ only. If you don't personally know Jesus, this is what it means to say yes to the question, do you want to be healed? It's real simple. You acknowledge the problem of this sin. You acknowledge that you have sin in your life, and you acknowledge that all sin leads to death. You deserve death. You need a Savior. You need Jesus. And you acknowledge Jesus as that Savior. You believe who Jesus is. You believe that Jesus is who He claimed to be. He claimed to be God. You believe what Jesus came to accomplish. He came to die on the cross. He died the death that you deserved. It was your death. But He took your place. You believe that. He was buried and resurrected. If you believe that in your heart, that's all you got to do. Matter of fact, Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that simple. Do you believe the truth about who Jesus is, who He says He is, what He came to do, and that He's alive? And if you believe in that, you will be healed. Do you want to be healed? There are some people that say yes, but they don't really mean it. They want to be healed, but they refuse to see Jesus as the healer. In essence, they say no. If you want to believe in Jesus, you want to be healed, man, don't say no today. Don't say no again. If you believe the truth that we just talked about, just say yes to Him. Put your faith in Christ. and confess it to somebody here today. There's no other way to be healed. Most of us are here already today because we've already done that. We gather here to worship and praise a God that we've put our faith in because we believe that. Yet, we started off asking about struggle and hurt and pain, didn't we? Because even though we know Jesus, we still experience suffering. We still experience hurt. We still experience pain. So the question God continues to ask us is, he says, do you want to be healed? It's a silly question, isn't it? Of course we want to be healed. But do we want to be healed bad enough that we're willing to do what it takes? You know, Jesus, he told this man, he said, take your bed and walk. That man had to get up. He hadn't walked for 38 years. And he had, when Jesus said that, he had to actually get up and take his bed up and actually walk, or he wouldn't have known. Are we willing to do what it takes to be healed? What's your struggle? What are you sick of? What are you tired of dealing with? Do you want to be healed? Let's define that term, want. For salvation, we just did. It's easy. Believe. But you think about this. What does that mean for your family? What does that mean in the perception of your family who they're unbelievers? And you put your faith in Christ. How's that going to work in your relationship? How about your friends who you've been out and you've been doing everything? You've been serving yourself for your whole life. And now here you're going to serve God? You're going to serve Jesus? For the struggles of sin issues, it's also difficult. So that term want is defined as desire and discipline to do what needs to be done. I don't say a whole lot of tweetable things or Facebookable things up here, but this is one of the things that actually got Facebooked one time. It was by Jeff Amon. And I said this, and this is of all the things that actually gets like retweeted or whatever here, I said, I just want to wear a large shirt again. That's all. That's all. That's the only thing I got. But it's true. I want to wear a large shirt again. I want to fit into a large shirt, right? And as of now, unless I go and get some shirts with a custom label and I have somebody stitch large in it, it ain't happening. Or it ain't going to be pretty, I guess. But if I want it bad enough, if I want to get in that large shirt bad enough, if I have a strong enough desire, then I'll stop eating Skittles, I'll take it easy on the chicken wings, and I'll put down the Mountain Dew. I mean, as simple as that. For me to get in that large shirt, my want has to be greater than the pain inflicted during the process. If my desire for the large shirt to be put on my body isn't greater than the pain I feel having to say no to Skittles and Starburst and a Mountain Dew or five every day, I'm just going to go back to doing the junk food. It's that simple. The same is true for healing. The want has to be greater than the pain inflicted during the process of being healed. You know the struggle. You know what you're dealing with. Everybody's dealing with something. You know what it is. If you want to be healed, is your want greater? Is the want to be healed greater than the pain that's going to be inflicted during this process of being healed? There's been numerous medical studies that have, come to the conclusion, revealed that there are five behavioral issues, five, that cause 80% of most dangerous physical health issues that we have. Five. 80% of the major health issues we have in this country, five behavioral issues lead to them. All right? I'm going to list them out. Too much eating, guilty. Then there's drinking, smoking, stress, and not enough exercise. All right? I think we probably could have guessed those. Too much eating, drinking, smoking, stress, not enough exercise. Do you realize what that means? Those five things right there. I'm not even a doctor. I just gave you the secret that they've done, spent tons of money to figure this out. You could take away 80% of the major health issues you could encounter over your life by just changing your habits right there. But will you? Will I? Do you really want to do it? Is there a desire not to take away 80% of the major health problems you're going to occur? Do you like eating more? Drinking? Smoking? Dealing with stress? Not working out? It's what you want. Do you see what it means? Most of us won't do it. Most of us would answer that question, do you want to be healed? Do you want to take away 80% of the major health problems that you could face? We'd all say, yeah, sure. Of course we do. What kind of question is that? But then again, do we really want to be healed? Are we really willing to do it? We seem the same spiritually. We know what we want to be healed from today. We know what we're hurting. We know what we're bringing here. We know what we can't get over. We know what we're struggling with. We've been struggling with it for years, months. And we know the answer. We just don't do it. When it comes to the spiritual things, where do we turn to be healed? This is part of that gospel centrality Jack always speaks about. He's always talking about gospel centrality. You see, we just shared the gospel here. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Put your faith in it, and man, you have eternal life. Man, that's the good news. But you know what? It's not a one-way ticket out of hell. We continue to live the gospel as believers. Even when we put our faith in it, we continue to let the gospel live. We live it out. It's not only the good news of our salvation, it's also the good news of our sanctification. We continue to live out the gospel. We continue to live out the gospel so we are transformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And you know what? We do that by the power of God, not our own effort, but by faith. That moment we put our faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit came and took its residence in us. The Holy Spirit of God lives in us, right? And we talked last week in John 16, we said that the Holy Spirit teaches what he hears from Jesus, the Son of God, the Word of God. In John 16, verse 13, it says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." That's Jesus speaking. And the Holy Spirit, when he hears Jesus speaking, he teaches. The Word of God you hold in your hand tells you who Jesus is. Genesis 3:15 was pointing to Jesus. Genesis 1:1 was talking about Jesus. It's all about him. The author of the Word, inspired what he heard to be written. What the Spirit teaches is the Word of God, the words of Jesus. So will we listen? Or are we just going to turn to our own pool of water? Hear me. I'm certainly not saying to ignore professional help or anything like that, all right? Some of us come in here carrying disease, major sickness. There's so many good doctors, facilities, products that can offer a lot of healing, but we must also turn to the Word of God. We must stop relying on our own power and the power of man, treating them like the pool of water and healing powers, and trust God through faith to heal us through his Word and his Spirit. We got to believe that he can heal us. I mean, I like this quote by Henry Ford. He said, "Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right." Maybe we can change that. Whether you think he can or you think he can't, you're right. He doesn't heal doubters, only those who have faith. If you have faith that God will heal you, he will. We're not talking about mind over matter here. We're talking about faith over matter. It's faith. You know what? Faith doesn't ignore a doctor's diagnosis. Faith doesn't ignore a doctor walking in and saying, "You got 6 months to live." But faith seeks the second opinion of the great physician. So often the healing we need is a change of desire. So often the healing we need is a change of perspective. Whatever the case, the healing is always a matter of faith. And God, through the Holy Spirit, heals us that way through his Word. Thinking back to Lazarus again, thinking about the Holy Spirit teaching what he hears, it's pretty awesome that the Holy Spirit, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, he dwells in you if you have faith in Jesus. I mean, is amen? Seriously. Right? And that's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that's going to raise you from the dead. But think about that in John 5:25, the same passage, the same chapter we're talking in right here on this lame man. This is what Jesus said. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live." Jesus is talking about being there of faith in him right now. In verse 28, Jesus proclaimed this, who he is. And now in verse 28, he says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out." It's still the power of the Holy Spirit working when he hears the voice of Jesus, just like he did, said, "Lazarus, come out." He says, "Come out." That's when the Holy Spirit will hear him, and that's when the Holy Spirit's going to raise you from the dead. That's the power of the Word of God. And it's right there in your Bibles, the same word. We have His Word right here. It's just as powerful and transforming as transfiguration. It's just as healing as Jesus saying, take up your bed and walk. It can heal just the same. It's the same Word of God. But do you believe it? Do you have faith in that? And if so, what are you going to do with it? Don't let your struggle define you. I mean, Lazarus was dead. Isn't that kind of what we know about Lazarus? He was dead. I mean, that's what he's most famous for. He's dead. But it was Jesus that came and re-identified Lazarus. As the man that was dead, Jesus is the reason why he's the man that was raised back to life. What are you struggling with? What did you bring in here this morning? Let God redefine you. Don't let your struggle define you as an addict. Don't let your struggle, your disease define you as terminal. But overcome and overcome it through the Word of God. He can re-identify you. Turn to His Word. There's probably people out here right now saying, man, we talked about the Word of God last week. 2 weeks to talk about the Word of God? I mean, that's how important. I mean, since we've merged into this group, this core group, I mean, I this is the third time I've been able to get up here and talk. In 2 weeks, I'm spent on the Word of God because that's how convicted I am of the Word of God. I mean, we love community here, all right? I hope you all see that. We want you guys to live together, be together, but I can tell you what, you can go to Carrollwood Country Club and get community. If our community is not rallied around the gospel and the Word of God, we'll all get irritated with each other and we'll all find somebody else to hang out with. It's just a matter of time. You've got to have the Word of God. You have to. I know it's hard. I know the circumstances make it different. I know we all have struggles, but we have a question that's being asked of us. Do you want to be healed? Every one of us here, do you want to be healed? Do you believe in the power of the Word of God? Do you want to get well? There's some saying here, that, again, 2 weeks in a row on this stuff. Let me ask you a question. How was your time in the Word last week? How was it? Did we walk away hearing the message of getting the Word? But did we? It's important. It's simple. You've been struggling for a long time. You've been trying to fix it yourself. You've been trying to go to the physician. You've been trying to do whatever it is to get help. If you want God to change something in you, you can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. If you're struggling, you're not in the Word, you need to get in the Word. If you feel like you don't have hope, spend time with the Lord in His Word. Let Him change you. Let Him give you hope. And to do that, again, is a step of faith. I know how we operate, especially us men in here. Except for maybe me. I'm probably the laziest guy I know. But most of us men, we have a problem, we want to fix it. If I have a problem, I get my dad to come down and fix it. But seriously, that's how we operate. Man, we don't want to admit our weakness. We got a problem. We want to take care of it instantly. It takes faith to slow down and say, I'm going to go be in the Word of God. It takes faith. The rest of the world knows, man, it doesn't make any sense. You're sick. What's going to heal you? This? The Word of God? A book? That's what they see it as. Is that what you see it as? A book? About Jesus? Or is it the Word of God that heals? That transforms lives. We have to start seeing the Word of God for what it is. It takes faith to do that. But we know that this is the Word of God and it changes and transforms us. Last night I was reading through this and I thought of someone. This morning I came here and it was like 12:30. It was actually this morning, I guess. And I thought of this person and I came in. I didn't want to text too late, but I came in this morning and it hit me again. I was like, man, I got to get Mike Lawson to talk about the Word of God in his life. So Mike, I want to ask you to stand up. Okay, come on up. Mike might preach a little bit. Mike, well, we talked a little bit. I don't know. You just take over. But share where you were in your life before the Word of God it healed you. Share how it healed you.
Sure.
All right.
Josh, is that on? Okay. Josh had 3 or 4 minutes. If I go over a little bit, you know, bear with me. Some of y'all heard my testimony. I shared it in depth here before. Just kind of quickly, you know, tell you about where I was at when the Lord reached me, and where He's brought me so far. You know, where He's walked with me. And you know, back in 2014, I would have called myself an atheist. I was firmly opposed to the gospel. I grew up in a Christian home. From as a young child, I was in church every Sunday. My parents, you know, made sure I was there every Sunday. My mom sat there and helped me memorize scripture. You know, I feel like that gave me a moral framework for my life, but, and I think that's necessary. I think that's the reason why a lot of evil is happening in this world today, is that that moral framework just isn't there in families. Parents don't teach their kids this stuff anymore. But that didn't save me. You know, it didn't bridge. I had a lot of head knowledge. You know, I knew a lot of scriptures. I could recite them to you, frontward and backward, all day long. In fact, I won awards for reciting scripture when I was, you know, a young child. But it didn't bridge the gap between my head and my heart. I didn't accept the Lord. I didn't see scripture for what it was, the Word of God. I just saw it as a book about God, like Josh has talked about. So, you know, I guess around like 2014 or so, I was basically in a place where all I could see is just evil in the world. You know, I just saw, you know, the conflict, the hatred, the hopelessness of the world. And I just thought to myself, like, I don't know how anybody could be hopeful in this. You know, this world is just, it's falling apart, you know, and it's just a matter of time before humanity just destroys itself. And I didn't have any hope at that point in time. I mean, I lived in darkness every day. I struggled every day, you know, after a certain period of time, getting up and going to work in the morning, because I couldn't see past the hopelessness of life, you know. And I had a coworker, Mitch, standing right in the hallway right there, actually, one of my best, you know, my best friends, that in work, he ministered to me. And he talked about the Word of God, and I tried to attack that, tried to tear that down, I tried to take that away from him, but it had the opposite effect. I started to see, you know, this is real, you know, this is real to this guy at least. And it's been a while since I've seen somebody speak with such conviction about the Word of God, about the Bible. And so, you know, he kept ministering to me and, you know, encouraging me and talking to me about Scripture, pointing out where I was, you know, gravely mistaken. Of course, I wouldn't listen to him at that time. But towards the end of that year, I started to realize that, you know, maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe there is something else out there. A series of circumstances just came together in my life to make me realize that I needed something more, that there has to be something more to this life, and either I've got to find it, or I don't know how much longer I'm going to make it. So I started seeking, you know, I started seeking something. I started seeking answers, you know, where I shouldn't have. I knew against my, you know, my upbringing that, you know, I shouldn't seek, you know, answers in drugs. I shouldn't seek them in, you know, just dark places. But I did go there, you know. I got into psychedelic drugs. I got into New Age belief, started believing that, you know, I could become God and all is God and everybody can become one with God, and was kind of trapped in this system, you know, of belief where I felt like surely, you know, I can bring myself to a point where I can overcome this world, and I can, you know, I can live above it, and I cannot let it affect me. But then a friend of mine, kind of, that I was going through this walk with, walked away from that and said, you know, I can't do this. I was raised in the church. I was raised to believe the Bible, and I need to listen to that. So I started listening to it, you know, just every morning driving to work thinking, you know, I give it one more day, you know, I give it one more day before I just give up. And I listened to the Gospels. I listened to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. I listened to all the books. I think I went all the way through Revelation and listened to the whole thing and listened to it again. And I started to realize, you know, that the things that Jesus said were true. you know, I started agreeing with the things that he said, and some of the things just resonated with my spirit, you know, and I knew that was, now I know now that was the Holy Spirit working on me and teaching me and telling me, you know, your parents were right, you know, the church you grew up in was right, this is the truth, but I fought against it. I felt like I had to have all the answers, but I knew that Jesus was onto something. I knew he had to be a great teacher. I knew that there had to be some truth in what he was saying. And then, you know, I wrestled with, you know, can I, you know, how does this fit into the system of belief that of this new age belief that I'm walking in? You know, certain parts of it were just completely contradictory to new age beliefs, and so I started kind of throwing out certain things and accepting others. Ultimately, I just realized that it can't be true. You know, one has to be true and the other isn't. So, my cousin Evan, who's also a member here, he's a missionary. He came back home from leave, from where he was at. And the first Friday night of June in 2015, I was debating him about the scriptures and asking him about apostasy. You know, what does it mean? You know, if I made a decision for Christ when I was younger, I said some words when I was 11 years old that I accepted him. Am I still saved? You know, and I got kind of in a heated argument about that, about certain things, and he just said, you know, Mike, why are you fighting so much? Just, why don't you just give up and accept it? You know, what are you waiting for? And I fell on my knees, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord, and I told him, yes, sir, yes, yes, Lord, it's true. Everything you said is true. I let go of my life. I let go of all of the beliefs that I think I've believed to be true, and I accept what you say. I accept your gospel. I accept that I'm a sinner. I accept that there's nothing that I can do to earn any favor with you. And I accept that this world is passing away, but you are the answer, and you will give me eternal life. And I gave my life to him. And I just want to tell you all, you know, Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, able to discern the intentions and the desires of the flesh. That's what Josh was talking about when he said want. What is your want? The word of God can discern your want. It can tell you, it told me that your desires aren't lining up with truth. It can reach you where you're at right now. I mean, I've forgotten about that times in my life. It hasn't been easy. We were singing a song earlier about, you know, I make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. And I was thinking about Jeremiah, who wrote that in Lamentations. He just saw Jerusalem. He had spent his whole life ministering to Jerusalem and telling them, you need to turn from your error. God is going to destroy you. He's going to wipe you out. And this is coming. And he had witnessed the destruction of his people. He had witnessed a million Jews massacred by the Romans, thrown outside the city walls like trash. These were his people. And he was lamenting that. He was so saddened that I don't know how he held it together. I do now. At the time when I was looking through that, I didn't at first I didn't understand how this man could have belief in all of this. And right in the middle of Lamentations, he says that, you know, that you have new mercies for us every day. And it's true. I want to encourage you all that, you know, I've been in a kind of a dark place in the last, you know, few weeks. I wouldn't say completely dark, but I mean, I've turned my eyes from the Lord, and I wasn't seeking him in his word. And I knew that I needed to, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I've been going through some stuff with my family, with my son, that were very difficult to get through. And you know, sorry, I got with Josh, and we started talking about the word and started going through some things together, and poured myself into the word and started to seek the answers there again. And he came right back and just met me right there. If you would just seek him wherever you're at, you know, don't worry about doing it perfectly. Just do what I do, you know, do what I did. You know, sit down with the word of God and just say, Lord, please open my eyes to receive the truth of your word, and read it, and ask him to show you yourself. Ask him to show you him. Ask him to show you the way, because he will meet you there. If you're born again and you're struggling with something and you feel like you can't do this, just open up the Word of God today and just pray, Lord, please open my heart. Help me to see the truth. Please show me how to walk and follow you. And he'll meet you there. I promise you.
coughing. Yeah, I did. Sorry. That's real. I mean, that's arguing with Mitch, searching the scriptures to, I mean, not searching just to disprove, but just trying, I mean, trying to go back at him from somebody sharing the word of God with him. And in doing that, he saw the truth. That's the power of the word of God. It took Mike from eternal death to eternal life. Word of God. That's real, man. Can you tell he loves the word? Yeah. I mean, quoting scripture up here, I mean, he's in it this morning. Hebrews 12 hit him like a ton of bricks this morning. He told me he walked in. I told him, just let it go, man. Whatever you got to say, let it go. So, I mean, I love that. But it hadn't been easy. I've been with them the last 2 weeks. I've seen the struggle that they've gone through, him and Maggie both. But I've seen him turn to the word of God. I think the word of God changed their desires, changed their respect. But you know what, too? He came through for them. And sometimes he comes through all the time. Sometimes the way we pray, sometimes it's not the way we pray. But he knows what we need. But I tell you what, if you're in the word of God, he'll heal you. It may be different than you thought you were going to get healed, but he'll heal you. You got to get in the word of God. You have to. Don't, you know, we're not going to have a word of God next week sermon. I'm not going to be able to remind you next week. Maybe I'll email you or something. But seriously, don't let it go. Don't miss today. Don't miss tomorrow. We'll start every day. That's minimum. You need to be 2 or 3 times every day. You need to talk to God like you talk to your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, because it's a relationship. This is a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Let's start treating the Word of God for what it is, the words of Jesus Christ. All right? Will y'all stand with me? Let's pray. And have a safe Labor Day tomorrow. Remember to pray for the people in Houston, volunteers. Pray for our country. Guys, take prayer serious, too. That's the next 2-part series, prayer. I don't know when, I'm joking. But, all right? Word and prayer, though, all right? All right. Love you guys. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who you've sent into this world. Lord, the mercy and grace, the love that you've shown us. Lord, the gift of faith that you give us, all we have to do is believe it. Believe your Son, Jesus. Put our faith in him. Accept that. It's that simple that we make it so difficult. And Father, we struggle and we do the same thing. We come in here and we bring our problems. We take our problems out of here. And Lord, we know that all we need to do is just keep our faith. Continue to live out the gospel. And Father, you tell us that in your word. Father, you reveal so much to us. You reveal the glory of Jesus. This is real as seeing it with our own eyes. Father, I pray that we're all convicted to truly believe that. Father, I love the community. I love the people here. And it's not the sole reason why we need the Word of God, but I pray that we'll be in it because we need the Word of God. That's the glue that holds us together. That's the reason why we exist. That's the reason why we come and praise and worship. That's the reason why we meet with each other during the week. Is that's the glue that holds us together, the gospel, Jesus, your word, the Son of God. Father, don't let us just take advantage of that and forget that. Don't let us look at this as a book about Jesus and just put on the coffee table all week. Lord, just encourage us, give us the strength, give us the desire to be in your word this week. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.